Hey everyone, my name is Jules, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text The River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support The River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you were blessed by today's message.
How's everybody doing this morning? All right. Did anybody get tripped up that it's May and it's still cold out? I'm glad I'm not the only one. Welcome to the River. So again, if you're joining us online, whether you're with here in person, my name's Ryan. So I'm actually the family pastor here at the River Church. So I oversee all our River Kids Ministries, so that's 0 to 5th grade, and then our River Student Ministries, and then our River Young Adult Ministries. So it's a blessing just to be able to see the next generation just grow, get connected. One of the things I actually really enjoyed watching is certain young adults coming in and after they get married, and they're still connected inside of the River Church. So it's always a blessing to be able to see. Sorry to put you on the spot, bud, but again, you're a blessing today. But with us at the church, as Roy said, 118 men went up to Rose City just to be challenged by gospel preaching. That's something that we should celebrate. And if you're like, I didn't get to go, awesome. Like, try to make time next year. And as Roy said, it's probably one of my more favorite events to watch because guys are always guys. And then when they start trying to decide what they're going to do, whether it be golf, whether it be canoe, or they start pulling out to do the target practice, like, guys are always guys, so again, watching them talk about their how they're going to shoot or what they're going to shoot and how they're going to do target practice, like, it reminds me of my 10-year-old boys with their new Nerf guns. So it's just always one of those things to be able to see, but it's also an awesome thing to be able to see that men's lives are transformed by the gospel up there. So for us today, we're going to be in Psalm 25, so if you got your Bible, feel free to jump to Psalm 25. But for us, the most important thing for us is always to give our day and give these moments to God. So let's pray. Let's see what God has for us this morning. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, just thank you so much for what you're doing through us, for us, and around us, Lord. Lord, just thank you so much for what you're doing here in Grand Blanc, Lord. It just blesses my heart to know that the gospel is being shared, proclaimed boldly every week, Lord. There is a group of called out individuals, Lord, who are just making sure that they reflect and they show just the trueness and the realness of you. So, Jesus, thank you so much for what's going on here. Lord, for us today, Lord, I pray this all the time. But Lord, as your word says, when we draw close to you, Lord, you draw close to us. So, Lord, whatever struggles, whatever frustrations, whatever trouble might be going on in somebody's life, Lord, pray that people are able to hear you. Lord, I pray that my words are not my own, Lord, but, Lord, it's just a reflection of what you are saying. Lord, please allow your word to be true today, but, Lord, continue to transform us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, Lord, pray that they start hearing you. Lord, they start moving closer to you, Lord. And if today be the favorable day of their salvation, Lord, I pray that they know you. But, Lord, for all of us, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and thank you for all that you're doing. So, Christ, we love you, and we pray this all in your name. Amen. So, I'm a big podcast audiobook guy. So I'm one of those guys who, like, when I drive, I learn this instead of just listening to utter silence, pop in some headphones, I'll jump to Audible, I'll jump to Spotify, listen to audiobooks, I'll listen to like 10, 15 podcasts in a week. And I realize it's actually extremely beneficial because, like, reading is not my go-to thing. So I don't know if this is you. Like, have you ever just, like, read the same line over and over and over, and you're like, man, the plot's not moving forward in this book at all. Like, and you're just like, what's going on? Like, there's that, like, mannerism in my head where, like, for whatever reason, like, me sitting down and reading can be a struggle. But me listening to something, like, it's a steel trap. If I hear it one or two times, it's locked in there. I'm even to the point, like, I'll listen to things on, like, 2x speed, and it drives my wife, like, absolutely bonkers because she'll grab my phone, or I'll be like, hey, listen to this really quick. And it's like, and then the thing that you got to do is, and she's like, how do you hear that? I'm like, God gave me ADHD. It's my superpower. I know how to handle this stuff. So with it, like, I love listening to new content. I love listening to authors, books, whatever it can be. So again, a lot of times if you ever hear me say, oh yeah, I've read that, just know when I say read, it's actually listened to, but same idea. But I was listening to just a podcast a couple weeks ago while just kind of like trying to shift my mind and my heart towards preaching through Psalms. So a couple weeks ago, I got the opportunity to fill in for Pastor Gary up at Burton, so I got to preach up there. And then again, I knew I'd be preaching here, but I'm like Lord, like teach me something new, like show me something new, help me understand something. And while I was listening to this podcast, the guy turned around and he's like, be careful how you are talking to yourself, because you are listening. I'll say that one more time. Be careful of how you are talking to yourself, because you are listening. And then he followed up with like some just statistics. And I'm a weird numbers guy. But again, what he started saying is like we have in between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. For some of you, you might be thinking that's on the low end. But again, it's that like you have that many thoughts, you think this many times during the day, and with them, these thoughts are generally in the form of a continuous self-talk, or it's an inner dialogue. So for those of you who talk to yourself during the day, you're not alone. That actually made me really, really comfortable, because I feel I'm constantly talking to myself. I'm constantly asking myself questions, and I'm constantly like rebuttaling myself. So if you're like, that's me, you're not alone, you're not crazy, you're not losing your mind. But in this, though, the study suggests that like 95% of these thoughts, though, are repetitive. So how many of you guys can ever think of a time you've been driving down the road and you just ruminate on something somebody said, something somebody did, the way somebody looked at you, anything? Like, I can think of so many times where even like a simple like, thank you from my wife on the way out. It's like, what does she mean by thank you? What does thank you mean? How can she possibly just say thank you? Like, thank you, you appreciate me. Thank you, you're mad at me. Thank you, I didn't do enough. Thank you that you're actually dismissive of what just happened this morning. Maybe it's because I yelled at my kid. Maybe it's because I didn't yell at my kid. Maybe it's because I didn't do the laundry. And if you're sitting here and you're like, that's me too. Welcome to the club. Sometimes we let our internal dialogue, our self-talk, get the best of us. But the one thing that got me about the amount of thoughts, continuous self-talk, and the dialogue, the one thing that really struck me, he said this, and this is the big moment. He said 80% of kind of that self-talk that goes through your head is generally negative. And that really, really actually struck me. Because the things that we think are, more often than not, negative. And that's why I was like driving. I'm like, wow, that's not great. I'm definitely there. But I can think about all these things where, again, having these self-talk conversations is a reality. But it always leans towards the negative. And again, in these moments, think about these moments that run through your head. You're processing things. You're processing experiences. Why would that person cut me off? Why would that person not say thank you? Why would that person not smile? Why did they think this? Why did they do this? You can start thinking about, again, talking out decisions. I don't know if this is you, but if maybe you're going to work and you got to have a hard conversation with your boss, what do you start doing? You start thinking through how that conversation is going to go. Well, if they say this, I'm going to respond with this. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen. But again, you start running these through your head. Another one is, again, you start asking questions. Well, what should I do? I'll say this. The one thing I've learned as an adult, they don't teach you this when you get married, is once you get married and have kids, all you do, the question that you have to answer every single day is, what are we going to have for dinner? It never stops. And you get chicken, beef, or pork, and you got to figure out what you're going to do with that for all of time. But like that's that consistent thing. What are we going to do? So again, in these self-talk moments, though, in these 12,000 to 60,000 conversations, these are normal. These are conversations. But the one thing that can happen, I think is terrifying, and I think some people live with this, is where does it take you? Where does it draw you? And one of my favorite verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is what I think is like absolutely amazing, because this was written 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, you see in God's truth, what is he saying? He's like, hey, it's important about what you are thinking about. It's important where you put your brain. It's important about what you let run through your mind, because it can either lead you in a direction of obeying Christ or not obeying Christ. And I think we can all sit there and be like, oh, wow, that's actually very true. Have you ever ran that repetitive thought over and over and over again about what happened before you left your house, and then you come back home and you're like, the way you look at your spouse isn't in an edifying or good way? It has nothing to do with what actually happened. It's just what's been going through your head. The way you look at a kid, and again, they leave their toys out, and again, you start thinking, man, they don't take me they take me for granted. They're not appreciative of the way this house is taken care of. Like, I keep four walls around them and a roof over their head. But if you start letting those thoughts just go, what does it do? It causes discord on a personal level. But then we also got to kind of take a second and realize that sometimes our thoughts can lead us to a place where they're not drawing us closer to God. We start thinking that he abandoned us or he left us. Or that love that he says he has for that entire world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's for other people. That's not for me. But I think one of the things when we look at this, we all fall in this situation where, again, how we think matters. And then this is like where I had that like giant epiphany, because again, that's for me where I think you see the book of Psalms. You see, the book of Psalms is poetry. It was written by real men. It was written by David. It was written by a bunch of other people. They're writing poetry. They're writing things. And again, what are they recording? They're recording real life. These are real people talking about real emotions during real situations. A lot of times if you do studies through Psalms, you can actually figure out like why David was writing a particular psalm at a particular time. Hey, this is when he was in this battle. This is when he was doing this. This is when he was doing this. This is when, he lost the baby with Bathsheba. This is when he's been going here. A lot of the times we can see real situations and what happens. Real people start penning their thoughts. Now, it's done in poetry. I don't think many of us speak in haiku or anything like that. But again, some of us might talk in like song lyrics, or we might talk in movie quotes or office quotes or something like that. But the reality is, what is David doing? He's writing his thoughts. He's writing his heart. He's writing where he's at. And it's truth. And then this is what even makes it even more beautiful, because I don't think at that moment David knew that God was the one directing his pen. Because God's directing his pen. He's directing his thoughts. Because again, what is God going to do with what David is writing? He's going to look at that and be like, I'm going to preserve this. This is inspired by me. This is truth that I'm going to hold up for all of eternity. Why? So people can know it. Why would he want to make sure stuff is preserved? Why would he want to make sure that's there? Because everything in the Bible always points us back to one true thing, that Jesus Christ is real, Jesus Christ died for us, and Jesus Christ is Lord. So while looking at this, what do you see in Psalms? You see a real person writing down real emotions, writing down real situations. But why do we have it today? Because you see what's going on in somebody's mind. Get to see that, again, making sure that we know what we're thinking matters. So each psalm shows us the realness of people crying out to God for help and praising God for his goodness. We see that across the board. We see that in every psalm, and I think this is where I love this, because you get to see David in the middle of something. So if you got your Bibles, I know Graham Blank well enough, and I just actually got done listening to Pastor Chuck's Psalm 23 sermon, and it was like absolutely amazing. I'm like, that's probably one of the best sermons I've heard on Psalm 23 in a long time. So the thing I know about Graham Blank, y'all can handle your scripture. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually get something out of the way, if you haven't done it, is we're actually going to read an entire chapter of the Bible right now. So if you have your Bible, go to Psalm 25. We're going to go through it, follow along, and again, if you got that like Bible gateway and you get the little like number at the end of the day and you get that streak going, but for me, I always like making sure that we are reading the Bible. We have to encourage our people to read the Bible. It's the best thing you possibly can do in every area of your life. You want to help your marriage? Read your Bible. You want to help your spiritual walk? Help your Bible. You want to be able to turn around and help your kids? Read your Bible. You just want to be in a good mood for the day? Read your Bible. You want to be able to set your mind on things above? Read your Bible. It's the best thing you do. But starting in verse 1, Psalm 25, David writes, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offering shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the nest. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. It's one of those things. Did you check off reading the Bible for the day? Congratulations. But in this psalm, though, this is David sitting down. We don't know the circumstances. We don't know the reason why. But this is David taking a second, and he's pouring himself out on the pages. He's writing down where he feels, what he feels, what's going on. Now, again, do we know the exact reason? No. But for me, like while I was talking to the location pastor, I was like, hey, what advice would you have for when it comes to going through the Psalms? They're like, there's a lot there. So I will say this. The beauty of reading Scripture is you can do this, and the Holy Spirit can move on a Monday. So you can take this home. You can kind of pull out what you think. You can pull the truth. You can look at it. You can study it. You can dissect it. You can go there. But for the sake of time, just to make sure that we're not going to go through everything. But the thing that I really took out of this is to really summarize the Psalm is we're reading David at some point in his life, and he was facing trouble and troublemakers. David was facing trouble. He was facing troublemakers. If you look at, again, verse 2, where it says, oh, my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. He starts this psalm by saying this. I don't know about you, but I don't generally cry out to God, oh, God, I need to put my trust in you when everything's going great. Now, I know I should. You know, that's where we should, in even good times or bads, mountaintops or valleys, we should look at God, hey, I trust you. But when do you most likely call out to God, hey, I need to know you're there, I need to be able to trust you, I need to know that you're going to show up? It's generally when there's trouble, and it's generally when there's troublemakers around. You start seeing stuff going around, and that's when you got to call out to God, like, God, I don't know what's going on. So has anyone here ever faced trouble or troublemakers? Some of you might be sitting next to your troublemakers. Go have that conversation later. Remember, for some of you, you're in a covenant with them and you love them from sickness and health to death do you part. Some of you, you have kids and you got to realize that, again, God chose, he ordained this to give you your child. That's a tough one to kind of swallow sometimes because he knew exactly what he was doing by giving you your child. You chose your wife, you chose your husband, but he gave you your child. But this is one of the things, we all go through trouble. Think about life. We go through trouble. On this side of eternity, there is trouble. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that is wrecked by sin. Because again, if we take it back to Genesis 3, because of the sin of one man, death entered the world. We live in a world of trouble. So there's trouble around us. There's difficulties. Sometimes we have enemies. These are troublemakers. There's hard times. Not everybody's going to do exactly what you want them to do in life. You are not the exalted Lord over everything. So guess what? Sometimes people aren't going to do exactly what you say. You want to know why I know this? Look at kids. Not a single kid will go in the direction that a kid wants to go. You leave kids to their own devices, they're walking in there. I was walking with my five-year-old son, or soon-to-be five-year-old son. He's just wandering in front of me the entire time. And I'm like, I don't know how to walk around you. I don't know how to, I feel like I'm going to trip you. But kids are going to go in any direction. But with this, there are troubles. People who are troubles, There are times of troubles. But be careful of how you are talking to yourself, because you are always listening. So when trouble happens, what do you start telling yourself? I think a lot of times when trouble starts happening, what do we start saying? Oh, God left me. God abandoned me. That's not always true. God never leaves us. He even says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But a lot of times during trouble, we start turning around and start thinking different things about God, and it doesn't lead us closer to God. When there's troublemakers in our life, what do we start thinking? Oh, I'm just hated. Nobody likes me. Might as well not even show up to a gathering. No, that's not true. But be careful about how you're talking to yourself, because you're listening. What do we see David do? Beautifully, he's in the time of trouble, and where does he focus his attention? What does he say? Oh, my God. He's going directly to the source. He's going directly to where he needs to go, because in times of trouble, in times when there's troublemakers around, what should we do? We should press more into God, because he is the solution. He is the author. He is everything for us. But so often, what do? I'm not going to put my trust in you. You abandoned me. You forsaken me. I shouldn't be going through this hard time. And I learned this a couple years ago with video games. If you're going the right direction, you're going to run into some bad guys. Every video game you ever play, if you're going the right direction, you're going to see some difficulty. You're going to see adversity. If you're going the wrong way, there's nothing there, and you got to kind of find your spot. But in life, what do we do when we run into troublemakers? What do we do when we run into trouble? We go back to God. And so often, we don't do that. Because it's so easy in times of trouble and when there are troublemakers around to forget that God is still with us. And I don't know what trouble you might be going through. I don't know what difficulty is in your life. I don't know what's going on with health. I don't know what's going on with finances. I don't know where your kids are at. I don't know where your marriage is at. I have no idea. But the reality, though, is that God is there. Even if you look at what David also says about God in verse 8, he says, good and upright is the Lord. Doesn't matter the size of our trouble, because we know that God is good. We know that God is upright. And therefore, he instructs sinners in the way, and he says he leads the humble in what is right. So we know that God will listen. We know that God will lead. He teaches them. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. And I love this, for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So it doesn't matter the trouble we're running into. It doesn't matter the troublemakers that are making life hard. We know that all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant. Now, what's his covenant? We just celebrated it with communion. In Luke chapter 22, again, we read Jesus' exact words. It says, and he took bread. Who's he? Jesus. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So what do we got to do with all this? When we are going through life, when there are trouble, when there are troublemakers, do we bring ourselves back to God? Do we remind ourselves to go back to you, O God, is who I trust in? Because again, be careful to how you're talking to yourself, because you're listening. What Jesus did on the cross is worthy for us to always return to him in any situation of trouble. Doesn't matter the brokenness, doesn't matter if we caused it, doesn't matter where it's at, if the trouble is because of you or not because of you, whatever situation is going on in your life that's a result of the fall, for us, again, what do we see? That his paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. What Jesus did for us on the cross because of the sins of all humanity, we can turn around and return to that. That's what our first thought needs to be when we're seeing trouble. David is in the midst of seeing trouble, and what does he do? Oh, man, you forgot about me. Oh, man, I knew I had it in me. It was going too good for too long, and I knew you were going to get me on that one sin that I committed last week. It's not God. Now, again, is he going to chastise those that he loves? Absolutely, but the reality is so often, I don't know about you, but that 80% negative, whenever there's trouble, whenever there's hardship, whenever there's troublemakers, is the first thought to go back to Jesus? is the first thought to get aggravated. First thought is to get revenge. The first thought is to lash out. No, what is David saying? Again, he's surrounded by enemies, and the first thing he says, oh, God, I need to keep you here. This is what I need to think about. This is what I need to remember. I need to remember who you are so I can respond accordingly. But so often, what do we tell ourselves? The opposite. You left me. You did this. Well, you're sovereign. And again, we use God's attributes against him. But the reality is that's not true. God's always loving. God's always steadfast. But I also love the logical progression in this psalm because you actually see how David's actually like walking this out. So he's like, okay, so again, I'm going to bring God to mind. Put that as the forefront of my mind, and us to be able to look at the covenant, the New Testament, or the new covenant of Jesus that was paid for in the blood. We see how could we possibly not remember the cross? How could we possibly not remember God in times of trouble? I don't know where you're at, but have you ever had to like really cling into God during a time of trouble? And like again, you press in, and you're like, man, my relationship is great, man. I learned a lot about Him, man. That was refreshing, and then like. Fast forward 3 years, you're in another situation, and you're like, he left me. No. But why do we not always press to God? Why do we not always remember him? Why do we not always hold every thought captive to obey Christ? It's because we think we know better. Because in that time of trouble, we look at God like, if you would just do this, I would do this. Oh, yeah, well, let's not start bartering with God. Well, if it was just a little bit easier, then my response could be a little bit better. Like, yeah, no, that's not it either. But think about this. Have you ever said you know better to a spouse? Have you ever said you know better to a parent? How about a boss? How about a pastor? And then the big one is we got to look at it. Have you ever looked at a situation that you're going through in your life and been like, I think I know better than you, God? And again, if we can feel that, again, you see this. How can we not press into God during times of trouble or troublemakers? Because we think we know better. You're saying a lot of good things up there, God, but I don't think that's it. But in times of trouble, be careful of how you're talking to yourself because you're always listening. And as David says, he doesn't turn around and say, God, I'm not going to listen to you. What does he say in verse 4? He says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I will wait all day long. Notice who's taking the lead here. It's not David. David's not letting his heart, David's not letting his sinful thoughts, David's not letting himself get ahead of himself. What is he doing? He's holding his thought captive. He's keeping him in a spot where he knows that he is surrounded by trouble. He is surrounded by troublemakers. But what does he turn around and say? Instead of saying, I know what to do, and saying, this is my plan. God, I hope you can sign off on this. Instead of saying any of that, what does he say? Make me to know your way. Not I know better. He says, teach me your paths. Not I know better. He says, lead me in your truth. Not saying I get this. David's heart cry, David's posture here isn't in times of trouble, I'm going to go figure it out. In times of trouble, what does David do? He submits himself to the Lord. He humbles his heart. He cries out to God, please help me. What's my next step? I had a moment this morning where, again, like I got a son who's fixated on plate colors right now. I don't know if anybody ever went through that phase with kids, but like if it's the red plate, we're doing great in life. If it's a blue plate, apparently the world just ended. I don't know why, but apparently, again, you have to eat off of a specific color. But I'm sitting there with my son, and again, I give him his food. Here's a fresh-cooked breakfast, man. So here's some eggs and some hash browns. Here's a sausage. Like, I mean, I always do breakfast real good in my house. Like, I'm like, man, I'm being a really good dad right now. That's not the color plate I want. And it couldn't just be this logical, like, hey, Dad, I prefer the red plate. It has to be like the world is ending. I don't know if anybody's ever gone through those situations. But in those moments of trouble and troublemaker, like, I know what to do. I know what the response ought to be. I know that a gentle answer turns away wrath. I know these things. But what did I think in that moment? I know better as a parent. You're going to listen here and you're going to eat your food. It didn't help anything. But so often I think we act like that in life. Like, I know how to handle this situation, Lord. I'll tell you how I'll diffuse it. I'm going to tell you that my ways will fix this. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever had much success in those moments. But when do you see success? When do you see triumph? When you can slow your thoughts down, even though you're in the midst of trouble, even though you're in the midst of a troublemaker moment, you tell God, God, make me know your ways. Help me respond like you. Lord, teach me your path. I want to walk in this direction. Lord, lead me in your truth. Show me how I'm supposed to respond to this. Not I know better, but so often we don't ask for the path. We don't want to be taught. And again, Office reference, we Ryan Howard it and like, lead me when I want to be led. If you knew that joke, you know what I'm talking about. But so often we just turn around and be like, yeah, I want to be led by the Lord. I want to be put down by those still waters. Only when I want to be, though. But that's not how we should live. But in this moment, though, maybe it's only me and maybe not, but like, that doesn't really show that we're trusting God. We're in the midst of trouble. We're trying to cry out to God, but then we don't want to go do what God's telling us to do. Here, Lord, I trust you, but I don't want to actually do what you tell me to do. Lord, I trust you, but I really don't like the direction you're trying to lead me. And I think in these moments, this is that 80% negative that wins. We read in 2 Corinthians where it says, hold every thought captive. We don't just hold every thought captive for the sake of it. We hold every thought captive. Why? To obey Christ. To live a godly way. To live in a way that is like showing that we're walking with him. So often in life, again, be careful how you're talking to yourself because you're listening. If you get in your head that you know better, and you got it, he'll let you walk that path. But I think many of us can turn around and say, like, that's not a direction that's going to lead to anything. And the last thing that I loved about this whole psalm is I love the realness of David. Because David shows that there is number one, there's external problems in our life. We're running into trouble. We're running into troublemakers. There's external things that make life difficult. That's a result of sin. And he turns around and he shows that, again, there's internal problems that show it's hard to walk with God too. But then he wraps up his psalm in such an awesome way. In Psalm 25, verse 16 through 18, he cries out. He starts with this idea, like, Lord, turn to me. But then he cries out, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. They're huge. They're big. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all of my sins. So I don't know the exact, like, hardship that you're going through, whether the trouble be external, the trouble be internal. I generally think they're both kind of like locked in the same. But the reality is we have a God who loves the lowly. He loves the lonely. He loves the afflicted. He loves those who have a troubled heart. He loves those who are in distress. He doesn't turn away from us. What does he do? He turns towards us. He turns inwardly. We call out and he's right there. It doesn't take a long time to get there. He's not slow. But what do we see here? Even though we run into trouble, even though we run into troublemakers, even though we're going to run into ourselves and think that we know best, the reality is we have a God that we can call out to and say, Lord, turn to me. Be gracious to me. Forgive me. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things that David is calling to mind. And I think this is why God decided that he was going to preserve this and inspire this and keep this for some 2,000 years so we can come back in 2026. We can grab onto this and be like, that's still a truth I struggle with. That's still a truth that brings me comfort. That's still a truth that I can turn around and like put it as eyelids in the frontlets of my eyelids. We can remember it. Because again, be careful of how you're talking to yourself because you're listening. Is the first thing you say when you're going through a hard time, Lord, you left me, you abandoned me? Or do you turn around and say, Lord, turn to me. Be gracious to me. I am lonely. I am afflicted. The troubles of my heart, the stuff that I'm dealing with is so huge. It's so big. I can't handle that, but I'm so grateful that you are willing to take this burden from me. You're willing to take the burden from me to take pay for the sins of all humanity and mine. Lord, you can take this. But I love that in times of trouble, what David shows as truth, what David shows as real, is that God is there. And I think so often for us, again, we get caught in this 12,000 thoughts. We get caught in these 60,000 thoughts. We get caught in this 80% negative. And it's a struggle. As a result of sin, we're flesh, we're carnal. We're going to struggle with that. Paul says that the things I know that I shouldn't do, I'm doing. The things that I know I should do, I don't do. We struggle here. But this is one of the most beautiful things, though. The answer to, and the solution to all of our problems is found in Jesus. It's found in God. It's found in that first verse where he says, oh God, I trust you. So that's my question. That's my push. That's my ask. That's my beg. Again, like analyzing your heart. Do you trust God? Because the reality is, be careful to how you're talking to yourself because you're listening. Because if you're telling yourself, I don't trust, if you're telling yourself he's not there, if you're telling yourself, I think he missed that one, if you're telling yourself that, rather than, Lord, turn to me. Lord, be gracious to me. Lord, teach me, guide me, direct me. Show me how to do this life on this side of eternity until I'm in front of you and you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Until we're there, we have to be able to take a second to look at it. As Corinthians says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So I want to encourage you. What are you saying to yourself? So for me, I don't know where you're at with Jesus. I don't know who's watching online. I actually love my limitations as a man when I preach. Because I have no idea when I said troubles or troublemakers. I had a beautiful conversation with a lady that I've known for a few years about some troubles that were going on in her life. Didn't know. And she's like, the moment you said troubles and the moment you said troublemaker, yeah, I heard that. I have no idea what I stumbled upon. I have no idea what wasp nest I might have hit when I said, do you got trouble in your life or troublemaker? But the thing I do know, I do believe that we worship and we serve and we get to know a God who knows every single problem that every single one of us deal with. And he knows because he is the solution to all of those. So I don't know where you're at with Jesus. I don't know how hard it was for you to get up in the morning, and I'm not talking about you having to get kids to a gathering on time. I'm talking about, like, again, like, I don't know the difficulty of coming and sitting in public with people, worshiping God. I don't know that. I have no idea whether or not your self-talk is like, hey, it's good, or whether or not you think the worst of yourself. I have no idea. I have no idea the trouble. I don't know the troublemakers, but the thing I do know is that if we call to God and we look to God and we know God and we let our relationship with God guide us, he'll show himself to you. He'll show you his ways. He will, like, literally forgive you. He will show you grace that'll rule over your life. When we press into him, we're able to know those things. So I was talking to Pastor Chuck before he left. I was like, hey, is there anything specific I need to know about Grand Blanc? And he said something that just made me smile. So he's like, hey, at the end of the gathering, just so you know, we always have some deacons kind of come forward, and we always, like, just kind of invite people to just be able to kind of pray. So the best way for me to kind of, like, think about, like, what do we do with this? If you got trouble in your life, you have difficulty in your life, if you can feel that internal fight inside of your life, where do you start? You start by going to God. And the reality is, you can come forward, and again, you can pray with some deacons, and guys, I think you guys know better than me what happens after this. But the reality is, you can also meet him in your seat. While we're worshiping, we can pray to him where we're at. We can sing out praises while we're drawing close to him. But the best thing I can say is, you are talking to yourself. But make sure when you're talking to yourself, you have God a part of this equation. You're talking with God as you're talking to yourself. So for you today, I pray that you're able to all press in. You're all able to leave a little bit closer to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, just thank you for who you are. Lord, sin will get the best of us. But sin has no claim. And sin will not get victory. Jesus, for trouble in this life and troublemakers in this life, Lord, it's going to look different for every single person who's within the sound of my voice. But Lord, I pray that people see you're in control. Lord, you're good. Lord, I pray that every single person here just knows that you are Savior. Lord, if there's anybody here who does not know you, if anybody here whose heart is not submitted to you, if there's anybody here whose heart has not confessed that you are Lord, and Lord, that you died for them, you raised again 3 days later in victory, Lord, if there's somebody here who does not know you, Lord, I pray that you start moving in such a powerful way, Lord, that they're able to confess you, they're able to know you, Lord, and if there's anything we can do as a church, as a location, Lord, to come alongside of them, Lord, pray that you welcome them in with open arms, Lord. I pray as a church we can help them in their next steps. But Lord, for those of us who have struggle, who have difficulty, Lord, who have trouble, Lord, for those of us who are just trying to figure out how to get through this day to the next, Lord, I pray that you just press upon our hearts. Lord, you press upon our minds. Lord, you allow us to hold the thoughts captive just to be able to draw ourselves closer to you. Lord, while there might be trouble, Lord, you are there. Lord, there might be troublemakers, Lord, but Lord, you turn to us. So Lord, for every single person in this room, whatever their struggle, whatever their trouble might be, Lord, I pray that they all are just able to lay it down at the feet of your cross. Lord, they're able to lay it down with somebody. They can pray with somebody, Lord, but for every single one of us, Lord, I pray that we are moved by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We're convicted by your words, Lord, where we don't want anything in our lives guiding us, directing us, leading us, other than you. So, Lord, allow us to all put our faith and trust in you. So, Jesus, as we worship you, Lord, we pray that we give you our hearts, give you our minds, give you our lives, Lord. We just continue to see how good and steadfast you are. So, Jesus, we love you. And, Lord, we pray this all in your beautiful and your powerful name.